You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is time for Creation Club. Good morning, Pastor Wirth.
Good morning, Andy.
How are you this morning, Pastor?
I'm well. How are you?
Very good. Very good. We have, I'm excited about our topic since we just heard Ken Ham talking about Pluto. I know that we have, something outside of this universe to talk about today. I'm excited about that.
Well, not outside the universe, but outside the solar system, but we'll come back
Well, that's
to
true.
That.
You're right. Sorry. I looked on the wrong map.
Well, did you have an announcement you were going to make
a
first?
Quick announcement. Creation Science Club at Southeast Missouri State University is bringing speakers from the Missouri Association for Creation in St. Louis to some programs September 13th and 14th. You can find out more about the speakers on mocreation.org/speakers. Check it out. You can find out more information there at the Missouri Creation website, mocreation.org. And we can recap that, revisit that next time. I want to get right to our topic today.
Good. So now we're going to go to infinity and beyond. And we're going to go someplace where man has never gone before, right? We're boldly going where no man has gone before. Well, how many more popular things can we throw in here to get people's attention? I think everyone probably heard this past week the big news in science that an Earth-like planet has been detected next door. That's the headline from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch article. It was an Associated Press article in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch on Thursday, the 25th of August. And let me just read the article, because there's so much that we can get from that and respond to in the time that we've got. Is that all right?
Certainly. We'll take a look at it, yeah.
Okay. After scanning the vast reaches of the cosmos for Earth-like planets where life might exist, astronomers have found one right next door. A planet that is rocky like Earth and only slightly bigger has been discovered orbiting Proxima Centauri, the nearest star to our solar system, scientists reported Wednesday. It is probably in the not-too-hot, not-too-cold Goldilocks zone, where liquid water, a key to life, is possible if the planet has an atmosphere. And it is a mere 4.22 light-years from Earth, or nearly 25 trillion miles. It is easily the closest potentially habitable planet ever detected outside our solar system, and one that could be reachable by tiny, unmanned space probes before the end of the century, in time for some people alive today to witness it. The international team of astronomers that announced the discovery did not actually see the planet, but deduced its existence indirectly by using telescopes to spot and precisely calculate the gravitational pull of the star by a possible orbiting body, a tried and true method of planet hunting. "We hit the jackpot here," said Guillaume Anglada Escude, an astrophysicist at the Queen Mary University of London, and lead author of a study on the discovery in the journal Nature. He said the planet is more or less what we have on Earth. They're calling it Proxima B, and while it could be like Earth in the important features, it would probably still look very alien. It is 4.6 million miles from its red dwarf star, or just 1/20th of the distance between Earth and the Sun, creating an incredible orange sky with no blue, so it blocks like a it looks like a perpetual sunset. And if that's not different enough, the planet circles its star so quickly that its year is about 11 days. The planet doesn't rotate, so one side is always facing its star and the other side is always dark and colder. It is bombarded with X-rays and ultraviolet light, but that wouldn't necessarily be fatal to life, since life can exist underground, scientists said. That's the end of the article in from the Associated Press, and it was published in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch on Thursday, August 25th. Maybe we should talk about this a little bit. Okay. Well, first of all, why are people even interested in these things? Well, that there's a belief that has permeated our culture and certainly the scientific culture of the West, that evolution is a fact, that life on Earth is here, not because it was created by God, but because just naturally occurred, spontaneously occurred, over by natural processes, and over millions and billions of years, life has evolved to all the diversity and complexity that we see on planet Earth today. And so if you believe that it would be possible for life to arise spontaneously from non-living matter, then, and if you say, wow, there are millions and billions of stars, so there must be millions and billions of planets around those stars, and if life could arise accidentally, spontaneously on planet Earth, then why not elsewhere? And so people have been looking for signs of life elsewhere in our solar system to begin with. And you know that years ago people thought maybe there was life on Mars. Well, now that we've actually sent space probes to Mars, it's obvious that it is not exactly hospitable to life, that it's cold and dry and it's bombarded by radiation and doesn't really look like a likely place where life could exist. But people don't give up easily. You know, so even though it doesn't look like life could exist on Mars, they want to believe that, well, you know, when we look on planet Earth and we see life in all kinds of places we didn't think it could be, maybe there could, life could survive in an unlikely place, even though it's too cold or too dry or there's too much radiation. Maybe there could be life there. And likewise, they're looking for planets outside our solar system where maybe life could possibly survive. And that's kind of what you've got here with this new discovery of Proxima B. And it's interesting the hyperbole that they get into here and lack of humility among scientists when a person says it's more or less what we have on Earth. Well, not so much. You know, planet Earth is uniquely suited for life and is teeming with life because God put it here. God created it here, as we read about in God's Word, the Bible. And, you know, if you go to answersingenesis.org and type in the search field, exoplanets just right for life, there's a wonderful article there by Dr. Danny Faulkner. Danny Faulkner is an astronomer. He's got his PhD in astronomy, and he taught astronomy and physics at the University of South Carolina for a number of years, 26 years or something like that. And he now works for Answers in Genesis, and he writes articles to help people like us understand these issues from a biblical standpoint, but also with the kind of scientific knowledge that he can bring to the table. And, you know, in his article, Just Right for Life, he points out that this, you hear this again and again, you know, our planet is just one of millions where life is likely to exist. But the fact is, no life has been found anywhere besides planet Earth, and the more we look for life elsewhere, including in other solar systems outside our own, there we again and again find there's not really any evidence of life there, and it's only wishful thinking. And so when you get to the fact that if it has an atmosphere, and if it maybe has liquid water, and if you know all these things, you know, really there's not likely going to be anything there. In fact, they haven't actually seen the planet. Did you catch that? It's only deduced from the wobble of the star that the planet supposedly orbits. So there's so much here that is really speculation, but people so want to believe that because they believe evolution is true, therefore they want to believe that there's life someplace else. They really make this big story about it, even though the actual hard fact is very, very different than the story they want to tell about it. Including something, this is something I thought was fascinating too, when they want to talk about that in our lifetime we're going to go there. Well, not go there with manned missions, but with tiny probes. And if you pursue that story a little bit, and you'll find out that could we visit Proxima B? If you go to space.com, they've got an article about that. And again, this is science fiction and science wishful thinking, not science fact. So, you know, the truth is, you know, if it's 4.2 light years away from Earth, that is 25 trillion miles from Earth. When the probes that we've sent out, like the New Horizons probe, when it went past Pluto recently, it took 9.5 years to make that trip. It went at speeds topping 52,000 miles per hour. At that rate of speed, it would take 54,400 years to reach Proxima Centauri. Okay, that's not exactly in our lifetime. Okay. Are you still there?
Yep, I'm still here, yeah.
Okay, very good.
That's a long way to travel, though.
It is a very long way to travel.
I was doing the math in my head.
Okay. Well, and the Juno probe that just recently went to Jupiter, in an orbit around Jupiter, it traveled even faster. It was traveling 165,000 miles per hour as it entered into the orbit around Jupiter. At that rate of speed, it would take 17,157 years to reach Proxima B. So, you know, it's going to take a huge, huge, huge technological breakthrough. But these people believe we can do it. In fact, it's called Breakthrough Starshot Initiative, and they're hoping that within 20 or 25 years, we'll be able to have miniaturized electronics that are small enough that you could have a postage stamp size space probe. In fact, lots and lots and lots of them that you would have a little tiny sail on them. And they would use a whole bunch of lasers on planet Earth that would blast these things at 20% of the speed of light. And if you could do that, then 20 or 25 years after you blasted them from planet Earth, they might reach this planet and send back information to planet Earth. But we're talking science fiction here. People dreaming big dreams and think, well, it could be possible if we did this, and if we did this, and if we did this, and if we did this. There's a whole lot of ifs, a lot of obstacles, many, many big obstacles that would have to be overcome to be able to do this, and it would cost big bucks. But people are pointing out, well, you know, we spent about $10 billion for the Large Hadron Collider to look for tiny, tiny subatomic particles. So why not spend billions and billions of dollars to see if we can send these little bitty probes out to one of our nearest neighbors outside of our own solar system and see if there could be anything to see there? Let's bring this full circle because I know we're running out of time. What this says to me. You know, first of all, we're not anti-science. We're not anti-intellectual. You know, scientific exploration can be a worthwhile thing. But what's your mindset? What's your worldview? You know, are we going to glorify God and think God's thoughts after him? Or are we going to deny God, believe in this fairy tale of evolution, molecules to man evolution, and look for life outside of planet Earth when, again and again, we've found there is no life outside of planet Earth, and miss the whole point of the life that there is with God? You know, for all this speculation and scientific dreaming and wishful thinking, you know, they missed the whole point that there is a creator who's left plenty evidence of his own existence for us in the universe that he made with all his wonders, but especially in his word, the Bible, that tells us that, you know, the one who created us came into our sin-broken world after we rebelled against him and deserved damnation. You know, God sent his own son to suffer and die and rise again for us for our salvation. Why would we neglect so great a message of salvation, of eternal life with God, in the crazy, hopeless pursuit of life outside of planet Earth that cannot save, that cannot give us eternal life? You know, it's really tragic that people would reject the Bible and believe these fairy tales and a future, you know, oh, I hope I can live to see these tiny microscopic space probes go to this planet. You know, why not listen to God's word, the Bible, and find your hope and comfort there? That's what we certainly recommend. Believe in Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen. Thanks, Pastor. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too. God bless.